Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Civil society is taking over the roles that government would traditionally perform. What happens is we see a void, right? Our parks aren't being cleaned, or our streets aren't being cleaned, or our police aren't doing their job, and everything is becoming privatized. So an article from Newsday actually cites what's happened on the Limpopo border is that AfriForum they've arranged these border patrols. Now, nobody would do that unless there was a need for it, or certainly in my mind. But hey, I could be completely wrong. They've been told by the SANDF to back off. This is not the job for AfriForum. So to have this conversation with me is Daniel Eloff. He's a writer, lecturer and attorney at Hunter Space. Morning, Daniel. How are you?
Good morning. Fine, thanks. And yourself?
Very well, thank you. So, Daniel, is this just more of government wanting to hold on to something, that another function that they aren't really performing adequately?
Yes, I mean, yes, it's like you mentioned earlier, it's one of those strange situations where there are a bunch of responsibilities and obligations of government that we preferably like them to do and fulfill. But unfortunately, the reality is they don't. And again, and I think you correctly pointed out, it's not a fun job for AfriForum to be doing. It's not a great thing for their volunteers to be spending their time on. And I think that's sort of something that a lot of the public discourse has been missing. These aren't people paid by AfriForum to patrol the border. These are volunteers, people, you know, giving up their nights and their evenings to patrol their communities and the border in this instance. And they don't really have anything to gain other than ensuring that South Africa and their communities are safe.
Daniel, what recourse do we have as civil society? So, for example, we've got a situation in Limbro Park. The area was without electricity last year for 66 days over and above any load shedding. That's a lot. They've applied to NERSA to generate their own electricity. Chances are very, very good that NERSA is going to turn them down. In a situation like that, what recourse do they have? I mean, do they go ahead and say, you know what, bugger it, we're actually going to generate our own electricity and let Eskom sue us? Because then the burden of proof is on Eskom to prove that they could actually supply the energy, the electricity. I mean, is that a strategy? I mean, would that work?
Yes. So, I mean, it's such a polycentric issue, isn't it? Because ideally, that's what you'd like to see. But with that comes a bunch of other responsibilities. I mean, let's say you do decide to just go ahead against the law and generate electricity, then there might be some repercussions where things go wrong. So it's not just as simple as doing that. But I mean, the point is, our legal framework has a bunch of responsibilities that it's exclusively given to government. But we've seen our courts slowly chipping away at this. And for example, there was a case last year where an entire waterworks of a municipality was transferred into private hands, or at least private management, because it's just been decades of bad management by the municipality themselves. And the court said, well, you know, let's give someone else a chance to try and see if they can provide those services. And perhaps just if we get back to the point about the South African National Defence Force's position on this. So they say, no, well, they have the primary constitutional objective of protecting the Republic and its territorial integrity. Well, there are a bunch of sort of domains of functioning in the Constitution that, you know, it's said this is the responsibility of the Defence Force, or our Constitution says that the South African Police Service should maintain public order and protect and secure South Africans. You can even go as far as saying, well, the Constitution says the South African Human Rights Commission is there to promote and respect human rights and do a bunch of, you know, other worthwhile endeavors. But it doesn't mean it's the exclusive work of those entities. I mean, you can't say, well, okay, we can only, you know, leave human rights litigation to the South African Human Rights Commission, or we can only leave the safety of South Africans in the hands of the South African Police Service. And I think similarly, in this instance, we can't argue that keeping our borders safe is solely the responsibility of the South African Defence Force. And what's interesting is for months, the AfriForum neighborhood watchers at the border have been working with the army, and they've been working with the South African Police Service, and they've been doing it quite well. It's only now that, you know, it's sort of come to light that the Minister of Defense has given an instruction saying, well, no member of the South African Defense Force may work with these community watch members. So it's sort of at the top getting involved in what's actually been functioning rather well at the bottom.
So do you think that, can they still go ahead with their community watch?
Yes, I mean, nothing stops them from doing these patrols. I mean, again, AfriForum has 155 neighborhood watches nationwide with about 10,000 volunteers, you know, each evening ensuring that the communities are safe. It's not just AfriForum doing neighborhood watches. We all know of our community policing forums that are quite active all over South Africa. So they'll probably continue doing their work. And similarly, they'll continue doing their work at the border at Musina. The only regrettable thing is now there's less collaboration between these neighborhood watches and the South African National Defense Force, because some ministers' ego seems to be a bit hurt.
And, you know, I suspect that the SANDF will actually lose out, because these community protection or policing forums actually have intel often that, you know, local structures wouldn't, or government structures.
Yes, no,
anyway.
Definitely. And the sad reality is, yeah, so they do miss out, but who ultimately loses out is the South African public, right? It's the average citizen that was kept safe by the collaboration between the SANDF and the neighborhood watches. So it's a sad state of affairs, and you'd expect government to welcome entities that want to help them do their job.
Yeah. I mean, what is the recourse for us? I mean, I remember a few years ago, there was a case, and you probably know of it, where insurance companies were filling in potholes, and the municipalities took them to court, sued them, and won the case, because it's not the mandate of insurance companies. I mean, now things are different with Discovery. But what is the recourse of the public? If the government is not doing its job in any specific area, and we have to, I don't know, we go in with some kind of solution, the government sues us. I mean, how do we proceed? How do we fix South Africa if it's not the people who are going to do it?
Yes. Well, there was that case where the insurance company said they want to fix potholes because obviously it affects their bottom line. But there have also been other cases where our courts have found in favor of these entities or communities wanting to jump in. So like I mentioned earlier, the one where the municipal water works were handed over to private management. There have also been other cases regarding potholes where the courts have held, well, these people should be reimbursed if they fix potholes. So obviously going to the courts and trying to get the right to fill these gaps is one option. But I think the most important thing we should do is sort of a political point. It's arguing why we need to change these exclusive responsibilities that the state currently has. It's one battlefield, but we have various other battlefields in the media, in our legislators and local councils, you know, on various spheres. We need to try to affect this change, and we need to debate and get to a point where we allow these entities to fill these gaps and to take hands with government and local municipalities to provide better service delivery.
Daniel, thank you so much for your time, for sharing your expertise, and I wish you a wonderful day.